This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes. In time before last, I called your attention to Ahab and Jehoshaphat when Ahab had invited Jehoshaphat to join his army with Ahab's army so that they could go and take Ramoth in Gilead, which he said is ours. But Jehoshaphat said, "Let us inquire of a prophet of God." Now Ahab had a great number, several hundred, of false prophets. Yes, men prophets. Men who would, in effect, tell Ahab what he wanted to hear. It's almost as if Ahab had put an ad in the newspaper saying, "Wanted a liar for a prophet," and so he had had plenty of them to come and apply for the job. And so these men came out and said, "Yes, go up and take it. God will be with you." But Jehoshaphat was not satisfied with that. He said, "Do you not have a real prophet of God, one that will, even in effect at the cost of his life or his freedom, be willing to say what is right?" And Ahab said, "Well, we do have one man named Micaiah, but he never says anything good about me. He's in prison, in effect, on bread and water." And so Jehoshaphat wanted him brought out. And at first, Micaiah, when he came, said, "Yes, go ahead, you'll be successful." But apparently Ahab could tell from the irony in his voice, or perhaps the sarcasm, that he did not really mean that. And he remonstrated with him. And then Micaiah told him that he would be destroyed, and it happened just that way. Now, many people do not wish that kind of preaching, even from the teachers of God. They want men to put their ear to the ground and find out what they want to hear and then teach that. But, as we've indicated already, that simply cannot be the case if one is to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. With some men, you can preach almost anything, and the world will not put you on the rack, even if you differ from them. Even if you differ from them, so long as you say it doesn't really make any difference that you differ from them. But if one preaches the whole counsel of God, so that men can see the difference, and then will insist that the difference really does matter, then the world will, in effect, not only hate him, but they will unite against him. Many will hate him, but at the same time, let us remember that many will be saved. There are many honest people in the world who have been misled, who simply have not heard the truth of God's word. And they believe that their lives are all right simply because they pay their debts or visit their neighbor when he's sick or something of the kind. Or because they're religious in a measure. But these things are not sufficient. Even though they're honest and want to do right, they simply have not heard the truth. It is the responsibility of every faithful member of the body of Christ to do his very best to see that everybody in the world hears the gospel at least once. Let us preach the whole counsel of God. Let us, as Paul said, "I'm ready not only to be bound," that is, not only ready to go to prison, but also to die. Let us remember that Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee the crown of life." Let's raise the question, why does the world hate those who uphold the Bible as the all-sufficient rule of faith and practice? Because the religion of Christ is exclusive. It is not merely a form of Christianity, it is Christianity. We're not going to stir up the church to world vision for Christ until it is truly convinced of this. It is the case because it does not claim to be just as near to the truth as anyone else, but because it is the truth. It is simply not the case that the Bible is as near the truth as something else, but it is the truth. And because it is right, doesn't matter who rejects it, even if your own mother rejects it, or if my mother rejects it is still right. It is still the one and only means of salvation. It is still right no matter if the church fails to live up to it. If everybody in the church became a hypocrite, the gospel of Christ would still be the one and only means by which we could be saved. The Bible is not something like the doctrine of God. It is the doctrine of God. It admits of no rival. It admits of no comparison. It admits of no common grounds. Rather, it claims the whole ground. In the name it wears, it bears only scriptural ones. It demands the unity of one shepherd and one flock, Christ, the head of the church, and the church, the blood-bought body. One plan of salvation, It does not stand on succession of popes or anything else. Be with us next time as we continue a vital study from God's sacred word.